All right, let's open our Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 6, where we have been studying. Last time we talked more about the matter of the daily bread, the book of Matthew, chapter 6. So last time when we were talking about that, we were careful to see what we would do without that, if we're not going to worry about tomorrow, what I was supposed to do about it, and that's what we studied last time. So today I want to continue from that Matthew, chapter 6. Let me just read it again. It said, pray in this manner, in this way, our Father who art in heaven, that's verse 9, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Now let's slow down and take verse 12. It said, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. He now qualified that verse 12. He said, for if you forgive men their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And if you do not forgive men, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Now, so he was qualifying what he said in verse 12, where he talked about debts or transgressions, or like King James says, trespasses. Now, I want to talk about that one today. Now, there's something I've been saying here and there as well I teach, that, you see, Christianity is a total life. Do you understand my point? And when the Lord Jesus will make statements, there are things that are implicit in those statements. They may not be so clear and out there for you to note, but they are there inside those statements, all right? So that is, when he's talking here, he was talking to his disciples. I say that all the time. Like when people say that, the Lord said that whoever shall say to this mountain, all right, that he will just say whoever. Whoever is whoever can. I say whoever is not whoever. Whoever is the people he was talking to. Are you getting my point? He was talking to certain people. He was talking to his disciples. And he said whoever. That is, there are things that are implicit in those statements. He did not expect that whoever will say Jesus should disappear. I shall not believe in his heart. I shall not doubt in his heart. But I should believe that whatever he says shall come to pass. Therefore, he shall have what he says. And somebody will not say, have so much faith, Jesus will disappear. None of the disciples wanted him to disappear. Do you follow the point I'm making? All right, so we have to understand that there are things that are implicit, all right? They are inside, part of the statement. Now, there's a reason why I'm saying that. Prayer is like that also. And I believe that one of the things we learn about from these things is what state our hearts should be in before we can say we are the ones praying. If you go and listen to the series, The Anatomy of Prayer, there was some particular, one of the messages there we talked about, I emphasize the fact about the person praying. I'm not talking about it now. That prayer is not just a method. It's not just principles of this, how to do it, how not to do it. There's a lot in prayer that has to do with the person who is talking. And that's the most important thing about prayer. It's not just the methods, all right? It's the person. That's the most important thing about prayer. Let me say it again. It's not the way the person is saying. It is who the person is that is talking. You remember a scripture I like to refer to, Jeremiah chapter 15. Jeremiah was praying and the Lord told him that, this is your prayer, Seth. You think it's hot? Let me refer you to those who have prayed hotter prayers than you. All right? And he referred to Moses and he referred to Samuel. And he said, this matter is so difficult that even if they were to pray about it, I wouldn't answer. That shows something that it's not about method. All right? It's about the people. That there was a weight that Moses had with God, that Samuel had with God, that Jeremiah did not yet have. Do you follow my point? Yes, that is, there are things that Jeremiah would have asked for and the Lord would have said no. It would have come from Moses and the Lord would have had to say yes. As a matter of fact, all right? Okay, so we're not discussing that now. So I'm just trying to say that, so prayer is not just method, it's a whole life. And when we look at these words of Jesus Christ, what he's doing is that he's converting us to a particular state of heart. It's not just to go there and recite these things. For example, he said, our Father who art in heaven. That is, you must be able to say our Father. Do you follow my point? It's not just that somebody will go like the sons of Sceva and say, we have heard that anytime these Christians want to pray and get results, all right, they say our Father. So you two will now go somewhere and say our Father and tell the juju, wait, I have things to say. And then they will say our Father. And as he's saying our Father, in fact, you know, he will be holding one idol in his hand and saying our Father. You follow my point? But actually, our Father is not his Father. Do you follow my point? He still has a God there in his hands. So he can't see our Father. So even though he's saying our Father, he actually can't see our Father. You follow what I'm saying? Because he should have said, our Father who art in our hands, you understand my point? Or who art physically before us, to which we are bowing to as an idol. But Jesus said, our Father who art in heaven. Implicit in that is the fact that these people are not worshipping idols. Do you follow what I'm saying? Yes, it's just part of the statement. I remember those days when Bishop Oedipo, you started this anointing oil and mantle thing. I heard that there were Muslim women who will come from Ibadan. They ain't giving their lives to Christ. And no plans like that. See, the man, they give something where they walk. That's all they know. So as you are praying and preaching and prophesying and singing praises, they are just waiting for when the incantation will start. And they've come with their oil. And they will put it in front. And before they travel, they will anoint their cars. And they will tie a man to their businesses. And they actually expect something. Do you follow? Now, they have missed the whole point. You understand what I'm saying? They have totally missed the whole point. They didn't say our father. They just went to say our father. You get my point? Their own our father was just a recitation. It was not after the hidden man of the heart. All right? Like the Bible says. So those things are implicit. Now, so I'm just trying to explain the fact that these things, they are converting us to a particular heart, you know, condition. Now, the one I want to focus on today is this issue of forgiving us our trespasses, or our debts, or our transgressions, like he qualified in verse 14, as we have forgiven those who trespass, all right, or transgress against us, or who are indebted to us. I want to explain the heart condition that the Lord is implying for us to have here, so that that's what the prayer is about. Let me quickly explain this. The story that would be perfect to illustrate the story of Joseph, as you know. Now, we all know Joseph, the story, very well. Joseph was a young boy, loved, a son of his old age, loved by his father. His father loved him very much, and then his brothers did what they did to him. And then he got into Egypt. He became what he became, which we all know, the de facto ruler of Egypt, of which the Pharaoh was just like the queen of Egypt, you know what I mean, queen of England today, all right? He was not in government. He allowed this man to do anything he wanted, all right? It became very powerful. And the time came, we all know the story, I just want to recap it so that it will blend into what we are saying. A time came that his brothers came to Egypt, and he finally got them. You understand my point? And when they found out it was Joseph, it was not funny. Do you follow my point? It wasn't funny. This is a boy we wanted to kill. This is a boy we sent, we threw into the pit. We sold him into slavery. And we went home and told his father he had died. Now let me just say something to you. What if they did not do that? Would Joseph have gotten to Egypt? The answer is yes. There are different ways to Egypt. Do you understand my point? Yeah, there were different ways to Egypt. Amen? Amen. Yes, Joseph could have taken a flight to Egypt. You could have, there are different ways. The Lord would just have had to use another method. All right? It would have been difficult. Joseph, I don't believe, would have ever gone willingly as a young boy. He would never have gone willingly. If the Lord didn't have those guys to take him to Egypt, he would have brought slave raiders. Those ones would have raided him. Do you understand my point? And taken him to Egypt. The point is that he had to go to Egypt at that time. Whichever way he will go, he will go. Do you follow my point? It's just that he happened to be in the midst of wicked people. And God used wicked people to take him to Egypt. Now, but the story is the response of Joseph. Joseph never saw his brothers as the problem. Now, I said what I said just now to emphasize something. I'm not saying his brothers were not a problem. They were. If you're so wicked, I think it was only Judah that had some kindness in him. If I'm not mistaken. No, first, the oldest brother, all right? And then, there were two of them that had a bit of kindness in them. I'm not very sure now. That's at the time they were... the story is there, just that I have not revised in a while. All right? They wanted to kill him. Somebody said, no, let's not kill him. One was planning to go and return him to his brother, to his father, okay? The rest of them were willing to kill him. Those were bad people. Just by the way, sometimes when I see the way God is doing things, even me, I do wonder. And still name these tribes of Israel after them. Those guys were not nice. They were not nice people, though. They were going to kill that boy in cold blood, bury him, and tell his father that something happened to him. Do you follow what I'm saying? All right? But the point is that you have to learn how to tackle life. Otherwise, you have high blood pressure, and your brain is going to just crack one day. All right? If you go around wondering why human beings are like this. Better accept them that that's the way they are. They are wicked people. You have to walk by the grace of God to keep you away from wicked people. He said, have respect to the covenant. Because the dark places of this earth are filled with the habitations of cruelty. People are very wicked. Do you follow? But don't worry about them. Somebody sat with me today and was trying to explain to me. I'm not saying this. Of course, I don't agree with him. I don't. You know, Sanusi Lamido. Sanusi. I don't know the man. I just see one handsome man that dresses very well on television. That's all I know. And speaks very good English. His English is beautiful. And you can just sit down. And the man is hyper-intelligent. Very smart man like this. That's all I know about him. He's very handsome. Speaks very good English. He dresses very well. And the man is just too smart. I mean, that's just what I know about Sanusi. As for what is going on in his heart, I have no idea. A man sat me down today and tried to explain to me, you know, we have three new strange named banks in Nigeria now. Keystone Bank, Enterprise Bank, and Main Street Bank. That Main Street Bank is one I don't understand, the kind of rubbish name. Whoever invented that, they should flog him. When they finish flogging that one, they should turn to the person who brought Keystone. Is it Keystone?
Yes,
Keystone. Uh-huh. The only one that makes a bit of sense is Enterprise. Told me how all the Enterprise banks have been engineered so as to return some things back to some segments of the country. I said, my friend, you know I will never believe this thing you say. He finished, I said, you know I will never believe it. Say from now to tomorrow, this is one guy you can't persuade. The biggest of the banks, they in quote survived. All right? That's Intercontinental and Oceanic. All right? Anyway, I don't want to analyze that. But the point I've been making to people again and again, and I think Christians overreact to things. They overreact. We talk nonsensely and ignorantly. All right? This issue of this is a scheme to Islamize Nigeria. Don't ever repeat it. It's not a good thing to say. Human beings are too paranoid. That's one. But as Christians, it shouldn't bother you. It should not bother you. No, really. I know what I'm saying. People say, no, it's not good for us to be corrupt. That's not complacency. What should worry us more? I've been saying it again and again. Is to ask them, not mention names, one of those banks, how come your senior managers were adulterers? Why? I mean, these men were going by no titles, deacons, pastors, and all of that. The men over them should call them. Oh God, did you do this thing? Is it true? Is this how to manage a bank? Did you mismanage it? It's called seeking first his righteousness. I mean, that you pay tithe doesn't mean they're a Christian enterprise. Some people pay protection money to mafia, and that's what God is to them. Our mafia who art in heaven, I mean, I pay your protection money, you're supposed to watch my back. What's going on? So that's what some people are doing. Doesn't make it Christian at all. What makes it Christian is the righteousness of God that is found therein. Very important. But let me not get carried away by that. Let me sit on my message, please. So the point I'm making is that Christians don't look at that. Does Sanusi have a hidden agenda? I don't know. Truth? I don't care. Don't ever forget the scripture. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. And you die suddenly. Is my point? He said, you perish out of the way. If indeed any person has a hidden agenda against the Lord Jesus Christ, the person is in trouble. If indeed somebody has any hidden agenda, and if I really am angry, you know what I would do? I will enter into my closet and read that scripture. That way, if I'm not too sure, I just read that scripture a few times. If you read it, I read it, and read it all over the corners of this country, you'll see what will happen. I still remember very well. That man has taught me a lesson. Then a brother spoke very wrongly about the head of state. I didn't think he was a nice man, General Sani Abacha. Just I had a rule. I don't speak against the ruler of a country, especially your country. Paul said it clearly. When Paul called somebody a whitewashed wall, and he said, and they slapped him, and said, how can you? No, they told him to slap him, and I said, you whitewashed, he was talking. He said, how can you speak like that against the high priest? Paul apologized instantly. He said, I'm sorry, I did not know he was a high priest. If I knew he was a high priest, no matter what he did against me, I would have kept quiet. So I told the brother then, you don't, we had a bit of argument and all of that. So anyway, I just kept quiet. Later in the evening, I was speaking, I was teaching a seminar, and I told the people, please, be careful, don't do that kind of thing. And I said simply, I said, look, if the man is doing what is not the will of God, and God is tired of him, he will kill him, he will just die suddenly. The following month, the man died. I said it in May, around May 1st, or April 30th, one of those days, because my convention ended around the end of April into May. The following month, the man died. Oh. I told, I wasn't married then. I think when I found out, one of those that came to Benin, and I told him, I said, this is what I said last convention, that I didn't know, I wasn't cursing him to die. I was not praying he should die. I just made the statement of fact that if you oppose the work of God, you will die suddenly. I'm just using that one to let Christians know where we should focus our energy. But the main thing I'm trying to say is this, forgive us our trespasses. I'm trying to bring out an issue here, and Joseph. So you see that the purpose of God will be served. And Christians must learn to focus on that and on that alone. That's what I'm trying to bring out. You should understand that these people, like Joseph, when he was being sent into Egypt, of course, he didn't understand this then, but at least you and I know now that what should have been in his mind if he knew was that these people are wicked. But whatever they are doing, in their wickedness, they are executing the work of God. Do you follow my point? Like I said, if they did not do wicked, would they have gone to Egypt? Yes. There are many roads to Egypt. There are many other wicked people. You don't have to be the wicked one. But if you are the subject of wickedness, I'm going somewhere, all right? You should bear that in mind. These people are doing the will of God for your life with their wickedness. I'm not saying wickedness is the will of God. But in executing the... Because God doesn't make good people bad and does not make bad people good. Did you hear what I said? Jesus. Let me say it again. Except they come to him with repentance and willingness to change. God does not make good people bad and does not make bad people good. Judas was Judas because he wanted to be Judas. Do you follow my point? The Lord would never have converted Peter to Judas. You know what I mean by Judas was Judas? That is, Judas betrayed Jesus, not because the Lord said somebody must betray him, so make anybody betray him. No. No. The Bible says it clearly. It said the Lord has made everything for a purpose. It said even the wicked has been made for their rule in the day of destruction. When there's destruction, God will look for a wicked man. He doesn't make the person present wicked so as to execute destruction. That's why he said, if it is necessary, I will call a man of my purpose from a distant country. I don't just make the man there become a man of my purpose by force. If he doesn't have the heart that can do it, I look for somebody that has the heart that can do it. And there was a time he didn't find any. He says, therefore, I sought for somebody to do it. I did not find any. So I did what I did not want to do. I brought judgment when I wanted to show mercy. But there was no... He didn't just force the sinner to start praying for mercy. He can't make a good person bad and make a bad person or make a bad person good. Except they willingly come and say, this is my heart. Change it. And that's why David used to pray. Check me. Is there any problem? Please, oh. And you should pray that prayer regularly. You are getting the point I'm making. So that was why when these brothers of Joseph now came to him and they were trying to say, you know, the negotiation. Say, our father said, it's our father, it's not us. We don't care. We know we have sinned. You can kill us if you want. It's just that our father said he shouldn't kill us. That was the trick they were using for the young man. Eh? That our father said, and this, but the one I want to bring out is what he said. He said, am I in God's stead? Am I God, all right, to kill and to make alive? No. You may have meant wickedly by what you did, but God used it for his own purpose, all right, to save your life, the life of your children, and preserve a nation. He sent me ahead. I have preserved Pharaoh, his people, and now the people of Israel, the people of God, I have been instrumental to preserving them. Therefore, I bear you no grudge. Do you understand that? If you are holding... See, you know I said some things are just inside the statements. If you are holding things against people, do you follow? Then our Father is not in heaven. Our Father is inside the person. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. The reason why you are angry is because you are disappointed. Do you follow? Now, you know, I said something and emphasized it. I'm not saying the person is not bad. I'm not trying to make excuses for anybody at all. Some people are bad. Some people are wicked. Some people don't want anybody to progress. But if you don't want anybody to progress, and you stand in my way and you say to me, you will not progress, I will laugh. I will laugh because if I have to progress, you will be crushed in the process. Why? Because the spirit of progression that is progressing me, all right, is a bulldozer. You know what I'm saying? The spirit of God in me that wants to make me move forward doesn't understand obstacles. It walks over them. It will just roll over them. Now, I know that. Therefore, if you succeed in your work of making sure I don't make progress. Now, I want to explain something here. If you succeed in your work of making sure I don't make progress, it's only because God said, go ahead. Did you hear what I said? It's only because God agreed. That's the only reason. There's no second reason. That's why Pilate looked at Jesus and said, do you know? He was talking to Jesus. Jesus was answering him. He said, do you know I have the power to release you or to kill you right now? And Jesus looked at him and said, they are bragging. Listen, my friend, you would not have had that power except God gave it to you. Therefore, this is what we're saying. I'm not afraid of you. I'm afraid of God and of God alone. He's the only person I fear. And why I'm not talking, I'm adding my own words. Why I'm not talking is because I know the end of this matter. You think I should be afraid for my life. I cured that fear in the garden before these guys arrived. I knew where this thing would go. Months ago, I was preparing my disciples for today. What is the negotiation about so that I can go free? I know where I'm going, so don't worry about it. Now, you are getting what I'm saying? That's understanding. That's why he was not afraid. Do you follow? So, if somebody stands like that and refuses to release you, your name is Jesus Christ, you are going to the cross, you have done everything, the man still did not allow you to go. Listen to me. It is because God said, you are not going anywhere. That's why Jesus said to us, listen to this. When you are praying about a situation. Now, this is what I believe. Now, listen to this. He said, forgive us our debts. He said that first. All right? There's a reason why I said that. I believe, I will explain that in a moment. I pray God gives me the ability to connect it easily so that I don't cause any confusion. What he was saying, I will explain in a moment. All right? Let me quickly drop it so I can come back to it. All right? Let me explain it ahead. What he was saying, in effect, is that if I have any problem in life I want to pray about, I don't focus on the people causing the problem first. I focus on the relationship between me and God because it is possible, because of my transgressions, there are obstructions in my pathway. I don't know what I heard I said. That is, I want to make progress, like I was saying, and there's an obstruction. Before I start getting angry at the man who is there, I first check inside what is happening between me and God. Quickly, let's read this one that from the book of Job. So it's not just about reciting a prayer. It's an attitude. Do you follow my point? When he said, forgive us our trespasses. Job chapter 30. Please, I'm looking for the one that says, no one says, okay, yeah, 35 verse 9, please. There are four or five things I love in that area. One is in 33, one is in 34, one is in 35, one is in 36. All right, 35, please. He said, verse 9, because of the multitude of oppressions they cry out for help because of the arm of the mighty. But no one says, where is God my maker? Now, that's where I was going. No one says, where is God my maker? Who gives songs in the night? Who teaches us more than the beasts of the earth? And makes us wiser than the birds of the heavens? There they cry out, but he does not answer, because of the pride of evil men. Surely God will not listen to an empty cry, nor will the Almighty regard it. Now, let me just stop there. All right, verse 13. In verse 9, let me go over it again just to point out some things. He said, people are complaining because of the multitude of oppressions. People are oppressing them. The mighty are oppressing them. He now said, but they don't say, where is God my maker? That's where I'm going to. Just hold it there. Now, let's go back to the words of Jesus. He said, pray like this. Forgive us our trespasses. This is what I'm saying. People have come to pray because of the multitude of oppressions. But they are focusing all the time on the power of the oppressor. Are you getting what I'm saying? Elihu said they forget that they should have started with, forgive us our trespasses. That is, where is God our maker? If you go and see the prayer of Daniel, in that Daniel chapter 9, when he was praying for the deliverance of Israel, he found that 70 years is the time. And when he began to pray, did he pray that, God, it is time to break the hand of the mighty? No. He began to confess. That's what he said. I began to confess the sins of the fathers, the sins of the people. This is what we have done. This is why judgment has come upon us. He began to plead for the mercy of God, even though he had a promise that this is the year of deliverance. You know, I've told you. This is how one of the ways you know an ignorant prophet. I used to use the word false prophet alone. I've added another one to it, ignorant prophet. Once somebody sits down and starts saying, your enemies are in trouble. This night, you are going to face your enemies. Holy Ghost fire. Holy Ghost fire. The arm of the enemies, it shall be broken. And they go on and on. There's nothing wrong with that. You need some of those prayers once in a while. Are you getting my point? But then at the end of 5 hours, we have tackled the enemies, the devil, the problems, the demons, all the missiles, RTS, you understand? Those RTS. Ah, you need to, you live in the day of email. Return to sender. Oh, you don't know what they call RTS. Ah, in post office those days, when you send a letter, it not reach anywhere. They will put on there, RTS. That's why you have to put your return address at the back and put RTS. All the missiles, return to sender. And they go on and on. Elihu said, I was in that prayer meeting. No one said, where is God my maker? What he was saying, no one tried to reconcile himself with God. No one wondered why the enemies were powerful over him. No one wondered why he was the subject of these problems. No one wondered why the issues of life were so strong, even though his God is supposed to be strong. And the way Moses warned the children of Israel, he said, well, how come one can chase 1,000 and two can chase 10,000? Now, he was not talking about the power of the Israelites. He was talking about the power of their enemies. He said, how come? He said, except that their Lord gave them up. Do you understand my point? So he said, look, that it was when he was teaching the Israelites their songs, that look, that's one song you should bear in mind. If we're having problems, how come, as powerful as we think we are, a small nation is overcoming us? He said, where is God my maker? He said, that means our God gave us up. So Jesus said, when you come to a situation like that, you should bear it in mind. Forgive us what? Our own trespasses. Because we must be reconciled to God. That's what he was saying. Listen, I'm not talking about walking in sin consciousness. Think that we just start confessing sin when there's no sin. If there is sin, confess it. But you must never lie to yourself and rationalize away something that is wrong. Do you get my point? He said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. You Christians, you must confess your sins. It's important. It is important. Because you know, the Holy Spirit is very alive. And he sees everything you do. He will point it out to you, boy, this is where the problem began. You know, to obey, they said, is what? Better than to sacrifice. I was reading Ed Cole. He said, many people, what they try to do, they use disobedience to enter into a trouble. And they want to use sacrifice to come out of it. Do you understand my point? Without acknowledging the sin involved. A man goes into an office, lied to get in, forged certificates to get in, and you now get, he has forgotten. That was 6 years ago. Now he's walking there. Troubles begin. All my enemies in this office, they will not succeed. I have a hot anointing. I'm just coming from Holy Ghost night. Special anointing that the GO put inside this one. All my enemies, they're the other enemies. This one. It is the door you opened 6 years ago that you need to close through confession of sin. That's why I said, forgive us our trespasses. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting the point I'm making? That's why I started with that. That forgive us our trespasses. Because in the times of prayer, oftentimes what we are trying to do is solve the problems in our lives. And listen to me, as a matter of fact, many of them we brought into our own lives with our own hands. And this is the interesting part. God said, all I want is just acknowledge your... Oh God, the Lord is very good. He was speaking through Jeremiah. He said, I've not told you to do many things. I've just said one thing. Do what? Acknowledge your iniquity. Just say it was wrong. Don't say, you know the children of the country. No. How can somebody get by in this country without doing that kind of thing? The Lord said, you see? This is why my hand appears short, like I cannot deliver. I know you are the senior of the country, but you just come and say it was what? Wrong. And I am culpable. I did it. And I need to repent. I have come to repent. I need to change. You follow what I'm saying? And that's what the law was. No, there are two things here. Number one, I said it with one, that the wicked is not powerful. They don't have power in themselves against you because God is on your side. If indeed God was moving in that direction, he will crush them. Listen, there's no explanation. I've heard people say all kinds of things. Ah, God has helped me in this my life. God has helped me in this my life. You know, sometimes, let me say something, but when I say God has helped me, when I hear God has helped me, I don't have a testimony of 5 million naira to give you. I have a testimony of understanding to give you. Yes. No, that's the greatest thing. I told you before that one of the greatest things God did for me was to teach me the law of boundaries. Give me boundaries in life. Allow me to know what is good and what is bad. Do this, don't do that. You're not allowed to do this. Even though it looks okay, don't do it. Everybody says, all right. All right? What I want to say is this. There are times people will try and explain the reason why you are being victimized. I don't know what I get my point. Like that person I was telling you earlier, that was telling me about Sanusi having a hidden agenda. I've noticed that anytime he talks, like the other day, we're having a discussion in my office. They want to elect a very principal officer, a big man in the institution. So I was just making a joke. I said, I think I should run for that post. And I said, Oga, don't just worry about that. The caucus has already decided who they want. That's how he reasons. If they appoint him, I say, Oga, you know, that man is from Anambra. This one is from Enugu. This has been brought forth to balance the power of that one from Imo. That's the only way he reasons. And if God now brings a man from Adamawa to scatter the whole equation, he will suddenly reconstruct his mathematics. That man from Adamawa, or guy you have forgotten, his wife is actually married to a cousin of the Igwe of this particular place. He said, he may look like Adamawa man, but forget that one. He's doing the bidding of the Abia man. How do you know? He said, no, now, Oga, I'm serious. God is my witness. His cousin is the husband to the first daughter of the Igwe of, you mentioned one place in Abia State. So once he starts, I said, oh, but you know I don't believe you. Once we're having that discussion, he said, Oga, I know you never agree. I said, yes, now that you know I'll never agree, why are you bothering me? So let us assume, for example, that something was due, we thought something was due to me. That's me, all right, as a person. And I didn't get it. You come and say, what did I tell you? You know, this, you see, you know, you are not from this area. They had already carved this. Today, he and I were talking. Listen to me. I said, there are people I know God can never make president. Now, let me tell you now, hear it ahead of time. You have that mentality, you will never head this nation. You have that mentality, you will never be a governor. Hear me, I'm warning you. It's not because God is wicked, he's merciful. Because once you become the president, the people that are not from the areas that you are from, they're in trouble. So because of the mercy he wants to show to those who are not your kindred, he has to make sure you never make it. Spend all the money you want, you ain't getting there. But God is looking. Now, so anytime this guy and I are talking, and it goes on and on like that, I say, listen, oh boy, you know I don't understand what I don't agree with what they are saying. People have told me that when we were seeing the old side, there was one man talking to me once. He said, hey, the problem is that you're a Yoruba man, that this you don't understand the maneuverings. Because they will be trying to say, look, okay. Because oftentimes I heard, you know, some thing, you know, maybe some units that many people are involved in. You not come and explain that, please, oh, don't agree for this. Oh, agree for this. Oh, I said, what's the problem? He said, you know, these people from this area, they have made up their mind that only them or their brothers will be getting it. I said, okay. He said, but look at this. And you keep on talking. I said, no, this is not right. This is just the proper thing to do. He said, well, guy, you don't understand. It's because you are not from here. So you don't understand what these people. Hey! That is, my ears are full of, now, this is the interesting part, arrant nonsense. As this man and I were speaking today about this banking matter, I just realized something. I told myself, this afternoon, I said, Father in heaven, if I wasn't the kind of person that I was, this guy will poison my mind so much, I will now go to a place where the people are not even thinking you know, that way. But I start interpreting everything